All right, wish to extend the greetings to you all in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you. Appreciated the songs this morning. It just, when we started out, it's just so nice whenever, you know, everybody has their own voice, but there's hardly anything like just the blending together of everyone just doing their part. When it's like that, the music is just beautiful. So I really appreciate that. Just everybody just doing their part. Nobody needs to be standing out, just blending together, and everybody, you know, the women doing their part and the different positions doing their part, and it just all blends together. It's just a picture of our lives. It's a picture of the church. You know, it's not just a one-person show. I mean, anybody can just go out on a mountain somewhere and be a Moses, or, you know, and just it's just, but whenever the real evidence of the Christian life is the being able to work together as brethren, and that just, I mean, just like everything else, principles, God's principles carry through everything in life, and it's just a real blessing to be a part of that. You know, somebody said, talking recently, you know, Jesus said that they will know you by your love one for another. Just that blending and working together. You know, most churches try their best to stand out and be different, but Jesus said they'll know you by your love one for another. And that's a real blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this word, Lord, that you've given us. Lord, we ask you'd help us to hear them and see them, apply them to our lives, Father. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Give us wisdom, Father. Thank you, Lord, for the prayers you've answered, Lord, and Lord, confidence that we can have that you know what's best for us, Lord. Again, we just thank you for all that you will, that you do. Thank you for peace, Father. Mm-hmm. That perfect peace, Lord, that we can do your will and rest in that no matter what the world throws at us. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Titus chapter 2. You know, we're creatures that love to have things spelled out for us. And I've just been talking recently with some people about salvation and what it means to find that peace. And many times people are looking for that peace just so they can have peace. You know, they'll do or say, they'll go through all kinds of different things, put up with different things in churches. You know, just do all kinds of things looking for that peace. And yet, it's always elusive. They never get to the place where they're just at peace and at rest with God. And that's what God's plan is for us, that we're at one with Him, that we're united with Him. And that's where salvation is. You know, there's all kind of formulas for salvation. You know, people say, well, the Bible gives the plan of salvation in the Romans Road and different things. And somebody asked me years ago, you know, about the Romans Road. And I said, well, where would the road of Romans lead you to? If, you know, if you take the Springfield Road, you're going to wind up in Springfield. It's not, you know, you can't look at it like that. The Lord never spells out a plan of salvation as far as do this step, and do this step, and you'll be saved. He talks about faith, and he talks about believing and trusting in Him. And there is no order of steps that you can take that will bring you to that place. It may bring you to a place where you trust in those things or trust in something like that, and you can rest, but it doesn't bring you salvation. You know, you can go through the all kinds of prayers and situations like that, and you might trust in them, but it doesn't bring you to the place of salvation. You know, there's people that trust that they dress a certain way, that if we just make sure we dress this way or that way, then we can rest in that. And that gives them a little bit of comfort. But that's not the peace the Bible's talking about that we sang about this morning. The plan of salvation, God's plan for your life, is that He has a purpose for you. He has a plan for you. Because Jesus died, you can be reconciled to God. You can be brought back into that place, you know, where Adam was in the Garden of Eden, where Adam walked with God. And in the evenings they would walk and they would talk together and they had a fellowship and communion together. And whenever Adam fell, man lost that. And they've tried all kinds of ways to restore that. But it's only because Jesus died, was crucified, and overcame Satan and his power and broke those bonds that we can now be restored to fellowship with God. Adam lost that fellowship simply because he chose his own way above God's. He was tempted by Satan. He was tempted by his wife. You know, I just think that here Adam had his wife with him and had his life good, and then he saw that she had taken that fruit. You know, I just imagine what went through his mind. Oh no, God's going to take my wife away from me. You know, that's some of the temptations he might have thought about. That he knew that she had taken of this fruit. And so these are maybe some of the things that he thought about whenever he was tempted with that. He knew what God said, don't eat it. And then here his wife, and he said, I'm going to lose my wife. I'm going to lose my family. It's going to cost me if I just remain faithful. And he made a choice. You know, the Bible says that Eve was deceived. But Adam knew what he was doing. And I imagine his wife played a part in that. Just the decision he was making about wanting to hang on to his wife and not cost him. But he made that choice to disobey God. That's how man lost salvation. How do you regain it? You regain it just exactly. You go backwards. You know, if you're out somewhere lost, how do you get back home? You follow the path you travel to get back home. Salvation is the same way. Man lost it by choosing that he wanted something more than God. Whatever that may be, standing in our way. It's just wanting something more than God. You know, whenever we make these choices, you know, it's sometimes it's the very most hardest, difficult decision we can face, because God puts his finger on the thing that you don't want to give up. And that thing right there is the thing that decides who's the Lord of your life. That one little thing that, you know, we, as soon as somebody mentions it or we get close to it, it's boom, right there it is. I know. Nope, nope, not that. That's how our minds work. And that's how Satan works against us. And that's how we work against ourselves. But that thing that God wants of us, whatever it is, I mean, I don't know. And that's why you can't put it into a little package or a little plan or a little track that you can say, here's the way to salvation, or here's how to know you're saved. Because every one of us, it's something different. I know that whenever I was a young man, I'd gone to church and all I wanted to do was be saved whenever I was a boy, because I knew that I needed to be saved. And I went to the altar 100 times asking God to forgive me. Thought maybe this, if I just say it this way, it'll work. Or if I just come back and I feel more repentant, then God will just give me salvation and I'll be saved or whatever. But I just exhausted myself on everything I knew to do. And I just, one day I just gave up. I just said, I'm not even going to. I know it's real, but I don't know how to get there. Because I've been told all my life that this is the only way to get there. And I could never get there. I walked out. And I remember feeling free, liberated. You know, there was a freedom there, I thought. And I felt it. But little did I know that freedom that I felt was just the opening door to the bondage that I was walking into. You know, I've likened that sometimes. You know how you see, you're driving along the road and you see these Tyson's trucks go by or these chicken trucks go by and they're just packed full of chickens. You know, and once in a while you'll go along and there'll be a dead chicken laying in the middle of the road. Just a greasy spot where a chicken just got free. You know, imagine struggling going down the road 60 miles an hour and get out of the cage finally and rush of wind and then a smack. That is the freedom, the temporary freedom that we think that we're getting by running away from God for just a little bit. That I don't have to do, I don't have to feel that pressure, I don't have to do those things anymore. You know, that because we feel like we have to. And that freedom that we think we're gaining, and it's only driving us deeper into a bondage that, and a darkness that leaves us with nothing to hope for. God's plan of salvation is for us as a human being, each one of us, to return to what God wants for us in our life. He's given his book here and he shows us the way to live, things how to do and some things to do and some things not to do. And those are guidelines. Those are good things to show us, you know, that how it would look if, you know, that's part of how we get there. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the problem is we begin to trust in those things because, hey, I feel better now because I'm just doing those things. But the purpose of this book is to penetrate our hearts, that thick heart that nothing, we don't want anything to get into, and to let God's word pierce into our heart, cutting in asunder, dividing things that we can't know or see and showing us that light, that place that we need to, where we need to change. And that's His plan for us, so that we can get to that place, so that we can actually return to God and be reunited with our Maker and our Lord. Like I said, all of the things that the book tells us to do, they're for the purpose of them is so that it might reveal to us the intents of our heart, so that it can show us God's will for our life. Here in Titus chapter 2, Paul gives us duties and responsibilities. And like I said, we can train ourselves to live within these responsibilities and trust in that, and never let God be the Lord. Continuing where I was at a little while ago, you know, I was freed. And I just felt like I could do whatever I wanted to do. And so I did. I just pursued after the world. I kind of knew that I had given up on God, so that I had one shot in this life, and I was going to get everything I could out of it. And I saw that one of the things I needed was to make a lot of money. So I bent myself to making money and getting myself secure, so that I could just do what I wanted to do. And I pursued that and lived that life with all everything it went with it, and began making money, or setting plans in order to really make money. Anyway, then buying houses and just everything I could, just to really be successful. And got married, started a family, and I thought, well, I want the same, at least for my children. To at least give them the opportunity. So I went back to church, and here it's just the same old thing. Follow these little steps and you'll be saved. Say this little prayer, you'll be saved. Sometimes just hold up your hand and you'll be saved. And I just decided I'm going to read this book and find out, just with an open heart, what God wants from me. And I came to the place where the rich young ruler, he came running up to Jesus. Okay, here's a man that's anxious. Here's a man that sees Jesus in the flesh. How many people, you know, if they knew that Jesus was with us, would come running up to him and say, "What must I do to be saved?" You know, if Jesus was here and we could run up to him and say, "What must I do to be saved?" What would he tell us? You know, I've told this before, that, you know, today, if you just pictured a rich young ruler, someone that's in control and powerful and wealthy, and he realizes he needs to get saved. And today, if he would come running up, you know, whenever they have their altar calls and different things, and here's somebody from the back just comes running up to the front, falls down on his knees and says, "What do I have to do to be saved?" He'd be given a little formula. Do you believe you're a sinner? Yep. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Yep. Well, you're saved. That same person doing the same things today would be told that he could be saved just because he says a little prayer. But what did Jesus tell this man who came running up to him asking for salvation? He said, keep the law. And the man said, I've kept the law. And Jesus didn't argue with him a bit about it. He said, well, there's one thing that you're lacking. And the man, what is it? He said, sell what you have and follow me. And the Bible says that that young man went away sorrowful. He walked away from God. You know what Jesus did? He let him go. Because he respects our decisions. He just let him go. You know, today we'd go chasing after him. Oh, please, please, give God another chance. Just do whatever you need to do. But Jesus told him what he wanted, and then he walked away. Because ultimately it is up to him and his choice whether he's going to follow the Lord or not. This man walked away. What Jesus did whenever he talked to this man was he looked at this man's life, he listened to him, and he put his finger on the very one thing that he did not want to do. And that was the very one thing that determined whether Jesus was going to be the Lord of his life or whether that young man was going to continue to rule his own life. And everyone that gets to salvation has to come to a point in their life where they're going to, where either Jesus is Lord or I'm Lord. You know, it gets kind of hard sometimes whenever we do so many right things, just like this rich young ruler that we talk about so often. He did all the right things. You know, today if he was in church, well, if he was a woman, he'd have a covering on and he'd be dressed modestly, and or she would be dressed modestly, and you know, she'd be pretending at least to be submissive to her husband. You know, and the man would, he would be clean cut, he'd probably have a beard, he'd try to listen to his parents, and he, all the same things this rich young ruler had done. And not a thing wrong with it. Jesus told him to do it. But doing all those things will not save you. If your heart is still holding on to that thing that God said, let go. Just let go. And that's all it takes. I remember I'd read all of this, and I'd read about Jesus and what Jesus said, and every time I opened the book, it was saying, sell what you have and follow me. And I thought, oh, it can't mean that. And I asked all people all over the world what that meant. And none of them said, well, have you ever thought of just obeying him? Have you ever just thought of listening to what God is telling you? He's got it written in the Word and it's agreeing with your heart. Why don't you just listen? Nobody said that. They said, well, you do this step, you do that step, you do this. Well, you believe. Well, you just give a lot of money away. You do all kinds of things. Except obey God. That's the dirty little secret of salvation. All he wants is your will, to do his will. You know, I was young, and I just thought, you know, I've got my whole life here right ahead of me. My plans wasn't just to be wealthy whenever I was an old man. I wanted to be wealthy when I was 40 years old. I wanted to be a billionaire. That was my plan. I wanted to had. We've talked about it, had dreams and ambitions of what I wanted out of my life. And I thought, well, I'll serve the Lord and keep my family. That's what one of the initial desires were. Well, I'll just I'll go back to church for my family. I said, and then I got to the place where after I had just said, Lord, I give up. If this is what you want, I'll sell it. I'll give it away. I'll do whatever. And I just give up. Your will be done. And I mean, it was just, I knew I had a new Lord. And I surrendered to the Lord. And I thought, okay, now I can get my family in order and start telling people about the Lord and just be, you know, find a good church somewhere. And went to church and, you know, everybody was kind of happy for a little while. But whenever I just said, well, why aren't we doing this? Why aren't we doing that? Or Jesus said to do this. And wasn't happy anymore very much. Just kind of a struggle every time you turn. And then pretty soon my family wasn't interested even in what I had found and what I wanted to share with them. And the very reason I started back, turned back to the Lord used that to get my attention. And here that was just taken away too. So I found myself with nothing and nobody hardly. Just a friend or two once in a while that kind of agreed with what we were talking about. And pretty soon met some more and we began meeting and talking, and it was a real blessing. But the very thing that I tried to keep and wanted to keep was all stripped away. But it wasn't mine in the first place. What God has given is God's to take away. You know, and if we don't give it freely, you know, there's a blessing. Even though it's painful and it hurts and I've cried and begged God, but I still had peace because I was doing His will. You know, I've known that, you know, and then I've seen others trying to hang on to something and they won't give it to God because they want to hang on to it. You know what happens? They usually wind up losing it anyway. It'll get taken away eventually. If you don't give it, whatever you don't give to God is not yours anyway. And it's taken away from them. And the sad thing is, they have nowhere else to go. Nothing else to turn back to. Because the thing that they try to hold on to the most is the very thing that God will get eventually. I just want to be happy. Well, if you trade happiness for God, you'll end up with no happiness and no God. Whatever you try to hang on to that you think you're not going to outsmart God and keep something hidden. We just want salvation. So we devise a way to where we can figure out salvation instead of obeying God and surrendering to God. Guess what? We'll lose that too. There's one way of being reunited with God, and that's to yield your will to Him. Trust that the reason Jesus came was that so we could be reconciled to Him and turn our lives back to Him, give ourselves back to Him. And that's the only place there's any real salvation. Like I said, if we substitute something. We might deceive ourselves for a while. We might think we're at rest. We might think we have peace. But when we stand before him and he says, "Depart from me, I never knew you." When he says, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this for you? Didn't we do that for you?" And he'll say, "I never knew you." Because we substituted something along the way. So a real yielding of our wills, a real faith, a real obedience, and a real trust in God. You know, it is a wonderful thing, and it's not difficult. It's not out of any one of our reach. You know, it's amazing of just God put in my path this week somebody that's just don't know what to do. Gone to church, there's no answers, and able to share with them just some of this, and you know, and he's kind of, well, boy, the whole world needs to know that. And boy, have I been there. You know, I've told this, every house in Berry County, I've been to every house in Berry County knocking on their door. Part of Lawrence County, part of McDonald County. Been all over knocking on doors and finding this, that don't work. Traveled 2 million miles, gone to places all over the world. Hear about somebody on a remote island somewhere that's just looking and find out that they're just wanting somebody to explain that little 3 or 4 step thing again for them. Go around the world and get someplace and somebody says, the pastor, you know, invites you into church, and right before you start to preach, he said, "Listen, can you preach about tithing? Can you preach up there? They're just not giving very much. I've spent more than they make in 2 years to get over there to see them and tell them a message. And he wants me to talk about their stinking money because he isn't getting $2 or $3 enough from some poor widow that only has 5 a week." And I said, "Absolutely not." Told him that more than once. I do not preach to billfolds. I preach to hearts. And if God ever gets a hold of your heart, he'll have your billfold too. I'm not going to preach to billfolds. If you want your stinking money that bad, you have it. But guess what? Just like everything else that we try to hold and keep from God, he'll take that too. We'll wind up with nothing. Maybe not in this life, but in the next. You know, I've heard of stories about people that didn't want to go to a bad place. They didn't want, it's too risky for their family. Just stories of people that tried, I'm not going to go do what God wants me to do because it's too dangerous there. And then lo and behold, their children, they have trouble right there in their safe place. Sometimes they're taken away. And it's all about give God your life. You know, I'm too pretty. I don't need to dress modestly and put a thing on my head. You know, I don't want people to laugh at me. Anything you try to keep back from God, you're not fooling God. and you won't get away with it. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, I don't have to listen to my husband. He's not the brightest bulb in the tray. He's not the brightest light in the box of light bulbs. So I don't have to listen to him. You cannot. My point is, I guess my message should have been where it says God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. Because whatever we sow, we will reap. The way of salvation is so simple, but the heart is so deceitful. We deceive ourselves, is what happens. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into just rest. I just want rest. I just want peace. And so I'll find it at any means. I'll do whatever, except for that one thing that God wants. Well, I didn't get to my Bible verse, so sorry for that, but I think everything that was said, we can find a verse for it somewhere. This thing isn't mapped out in a simple little thing. It's God calling, and we either respond by yielding, or we devise a new little plan and call it a religion, a different religion. This old message, out there says trying to maintain or trying to lay hold of the faith that was once delivered to the saints. You know, there's no church. I don't care how well you trace it. Your genealogy, it didn't work for the Jews, and it's not going to work for you and your church. It's a personal thing. God did not come. Christ didn't come to establish a denomination. He came to find a church of people who were going to actually hear him and do his will. Big part of that, loving God with all your heart. You know, that's loving God with all your heart. That's giving him complete control. You know, we talked about it, the commandments. Jesus said all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Some people get stuck on, I'm going to love God with all my heart, and they can't stand people. But some people get stuck on, love your neighbor as yourself. And they do that and try to love their neighbor as yourself. But if you don't have love God with all your heart, you're not really loving your neighbor as yourself. I've said it before, the reason we can forgive is because we've tasted forgiveness. The reason we can love is we've tasted love. The reason we can show mercy is because we've tasted mercy. That's God first. Loving God, experiencing what He has to offer, and giving that to other people. May the Lord have His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
Oh, I was just curious, like going back in your testimony, when you were talking about how you just decided to quit, just leave the church behind. It wasn't what it wasn't necessarily out of an allurement for the world. Like you weren't looking at that and just wanting. It was more just discouragement from hitting a dead end with the gospel that wasn't working, right?
If this isn't
going to work, then that's all that's left.
The allurement of the world filled that void very quickly.
Right.
And it will.
Right. They wouldn't have any problem with what you went after.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen. I really appreciate that.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Truth there.
We do have a couple of requests to be baptized whenever it's suitable one of these days, just letting people know that there are a couple that have asked for it. So if you're interested, let us know. Praise the Lord. The children are playing out here with this. Don't be picking at the insulation. A little practical. The spray-on foam. Just leave it alone. Anyway. Anyone have anything else? All right. Well, Lord bless you all. Depart in peace. We'll meet back 6 o'clock this evening. God bless you.